The veil of slime pits was an area that they should have known about, but they thought they were smarter. They thought they knew how to dodge them. They thought their chariots, they thought their whatever was well equipped to get them through that, and they bogged down and the enemy captured them. Nobody in this room, young, old, middle-aged, male or female, is smart enough and savvy enough to navigate the slime pits of this world. Jude, please, Jude. Verse number 23, Jude 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's where we've been lately as we've made our way through Jude. We've studied the beginning of the book and now the end. And then we're going to go back and study verses 4 through 19. But 4 through 19 don't have the impact that they need to have if you haven't studied the bookends or the framing that is holding it all together. So that's why I've taken the approach that I have. So we were in 22 quite a while, and now we've moved to 23. Today, I want to look at 22 and 23 together. So let's read those two, and then we're going to the book of Genesis. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, and we will stay in Genesis for the rest of the message. Let me tell you what I'm getting ready to do. I'm reading in chapter 13, and then I'm preaching from chapter 14. The message is found in chapter 14, but you won't grasp it. It won't mean anything to you if you don't understand what's going on in chapter 13. So look in chapter 13, verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Would you read the last four words with me, please? For we be brethren. So this is not today's message where I'm going in chapter 14, but let me put a highlighter on those four words. When strife occurs, and it will, it's not if, but when those things occur, listen to your pastor, please take the high road. Nothing breaks my heart more in my life, in my family, or in the church than when saved people act like lost people. And nowhere do we do that more than in relationships. And let's face it, those are the hardest places to take the high road, right? We want to get down and dirty in the mud, okay? So I'm thankful for the example of Abram here. Verse number 8, let there be no strife. End of the verse, we be brethren. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? He offered a solution. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Look how far he goes, church. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom, look at these phrases, were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Go with me now to chapter number 14. Lot has made it to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said in the chapter we just read, he is moving around through those cities. Apparently, he slowly made his way to the area that we refer to as Sodom and Gomorrah. So he has made it there. And if you read all of chapter 14, let me tell you something. You need a notepad you need to do like you did in high school and diagram, okay, these sentences to keep up with who's going where and who's fighting who. And if I read it right now, your eyes would glaze over and roll back in your head, and you wouldn't get one thing out of what I'm about to preach, okay? And that's from the voice of experience. That would be a real good place for an amen. Not the least of which would be my wife. We would get in the truck and she'd say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Sometimes I say, did that make sense? Other days I don't ask a thing, okay? I look at the glazed eyes and I'm like, try better next time, bud. So we're not going to read chapter 14, but listen, here's the sum of the story. Five kings fight four. And the names are given more than once. And if you think we lose it when we read numbers about them packing up the spoons, okay, when you read chapter 14, you're like, I don't even know which side I'm on. You know, were you born on the wrong side of the tracks? Or were you born on the wrong side of the river? I don't even know where the river is, okay? Just get really, really bogged down in here. That's actually one of my points. That was a pun, but you didn't know it, okay? So we're in chapter 14. There is a battle, and Sodom and Gomorrah get taken captive by these kings over here. And they take them in there. Lot has identified himself with Sodom and Gomorrah, so when they get taken captive, he's a captive too. So that's the summary of what's going on in chapter 14. Abram is the one who has to come in and set Lot free. So here's today's message. Stay the course. There's a lot at stake. Stay the course. There's a lot at stake. Don, you really have no idea how God used your brief glorying of God for, like you said, it was strained this week. But he said, and I know we're online, okay? He's saying, I'd rather have a strained relationship than none at all. Okay? And I hope you don't ever have to get to the point where you understand that. but it's easy to get there. It's easy to write somebody off. But when there's a lot at stake, we can't do that. Okay? We've got to be the Abram, and we've got to take the high road. So look with me, please, at verse number 3 and verse number 4. And these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. Would you read the first two words of verse 4? They served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Listen to me carefully. The lie that was bought. When Lot left Abram and went to the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, he did not know they were under siege. How long have they been under siege, preacher? 12 years. And I'm going to say it now, but it gets its own point, okay? I'm going to say it again. Everything was fine until they rebelled. I'll get to that in just a minute. This, if you did a little timeline of Abram and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, if you just did a timeline of all that, the fact of the matter is when they went down into Sodom and he was living in the bright lights of the city and having himself a time, that city was under siege. Nobody has ever left the ways of God and gone to the world without thinking they were going to be free. And nobody has ever left the ways of God and gone to the world and never come and not come to realize at some point in the life, this isn't as free as I thought it was. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, you're either a servant, the word means slave, don't try to gloss it over. It means you're either a servant to righteousness or you're a servant to sin, one or the other. There's no middle ground. Here's where we are in the Bible Belt. Well, I'm not really sold out to God all the way. I mean, I'm not a slave to Him, but I'm not a slave. No, if you're not a slave to God, the Bible says you are a slave to sin. You can look the part and still be a slave to sin because it's found right here. If you don't get anything else from this message or the next one today or Sunday school today, I want you to understand something. When Lot left Uncle Abram, who was a man of God, not perfect by a long shot, but a man of God, when he left the man of God and went down toward Sodom, he did not know they were in bondage. Most of Sodom and Gomorrah did not recognize they were in bondage because as long as they complied with Chedorlaomer, okay, that's the best way I know to pronounce it. If it's wrong, forgive me. That as long as they complied with him, everything was fine. The minute they wanted a little bit of liberty, which is what he had promised them to begin with, this is all New Testament theology. Just played out in the first 13 chapters of your Bible for us to see that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Okay, and as long as they complied with this wicked king, he let them do what they want to within his parameters. But the minute they wanted some freedom, he said, oh no, you're not free, you're my slave, and you do exactly what I want. Anybody in this room who has lived a sinful lifestyle and then because of a message, because of a death in the family, because of an overdose, because of a tragic accident that came within a hair of taking your life, wanted to turn over a new leaf, be a better person, you name it, you know how hard it was to go another direction with your life. As long as you were complying with the enemy, everything was fine. But the minute you wanted something to change, hell and the devils of hell came against you to destroy those things. The lie that was bought. The lie that was bought. Can I get you to stop for a minute and enter and go in your heart and in your mind and ask yourself, you precious, I thought of y'all, you young people and you children, I thought of you the whole time I prayed and studied and prepared. I said, Lord, we all need this. I don't care if you're 85. We all need this, but boy, these young people, the devil is trying to sell them a lie that is going to destroy them. And I beg of you not to believe his lie. Would you look at verse number 10? And the veil, when you hear the word veil, does that not sound beautiful? Right? It's a short version for what we would call valley. It's a low place between two mountains. The veil, you can just hear it in poetry. You hear the word veil. Look at this veil. The veil of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains. Number one, the lie that was bought. I hope the guys will get with me on this one. Number two, the land that was bogged. Let me tell you something. It's one thing if you get on a four-wheeler and go there on purpose. If you're trying to get out of Dodge, a bogged-up valley is not where you want to be. And here's, Cam, here is what grips me about that verse. They were in land that they knew and understood. So if they knew there were slime pits here, why did they make every effort to get out of here and get so bogged down in what had always been there? They thought they were smarter. Sin makes you stupid. Now, all you kids whose mommies and daddies don't let you say that word, don't go home and say it, okay, and say the preacher did, okay? Sin makes you stupid. You'll go through a valley of slime pits, and you'll go, it won't get me. Y'all want me to stay on valleys and slime pits and mud bogging, or do you want me to get on the internet? Oh, I'm strong enough. I know when to hit escape. No, you don't. No, you don't. Your mind knows how far to take you. Your heart, your wicked heart, follow your heart. That's the dumbest advice anybody ever gave a friend. Follow your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? We don't even know how bad it is. The veil of slime pits was an area that they should have known about, but they thought they were smarter. They thought they knew how to dodge them. They thought their chariots, they thought their whatever was easy, was well equipped to get them through that, and they bogged down and the enemy captured them. Nobody in this room, young, old, middle-aged, male or female, is smart enough and savvy enough to navigate the slime pits of this world. And let me tell you how prevalent they are. Listen to your pastor. Brother Rains, when will I face my next slime pit? Today. Preacher Rains, when will you encounter a slime pit? And I'm not going to put myself where they are. But let's face it, we live in a world that's full of them. And if you think, oh, this is a once-a-year occurrence where the devil drags some temptation in front of me. No, no, no. You're going to see, hear, or experience something today that if you don't crucify it with the power of the Holy Spirit, it will lead you down a wrong road. And nobody who's ever ended up in the slime pit got there in one jump. It took a step at a time. You would be wise to look back over every step, not physically, literally, mentally, visually, audibly, over every step you've taken this week and say, was that a step in the wrong direction? You would too. You with me? Say, Brother Rains, did something instigate this message? Yeah, God's Word. I don't need stories. I don't need current events. I don't need a prayer request texted to me for me to understand that this world seeks to devour us. It's heartbreaking. Boys, did you take one step this week in the wrong direction? It starts with one. Anybody who's ever made a spectacle, a tragedy of their life, it started with one. And God help us, the field that bogged them down. They were there, they knew it, and they thought they were smarter than that. One more illustration, and I'm moving to the next point. Many years of my life were in with youth and music and or Christian education, and those usually overlapped and all of that. Sketch, I have sat with numerous young people your age in an office. And Brother PJ, I'd say, you're taking some steps in the wrong direction. And they'd say, I'm being careful, Mr. Rains. I'll be all right. I'm being careful. And they wouldn't disagree with me. They'd say, yeah, I've got a friend that's kind of suspect. I need to be careful, but I am being careful. When you stay in a ministry 40 years, you all up in each other's business. And you know each other's stories. And Silas, I would say, now I'm not being ugly. I would say this to the young person. I'm not being ugly. But your cousin, your aunt, somebody we knew and loved made these choices, went that direction, and it didn't end well. Jared, time after time after time, they'd go, you're right. You're right. But he's stupid. She's dumb, Miss Rain. You know her. She is dumb as a box of rocks. I'm smarter than her. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mackenzie, I'd say, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're on the same road, headed the same direction, making the same choices, but you think you're going to end up in a different place? Tell me who's dumb. Are you with me? The land that was bogged. What an awesome word. Bogged down with the things of this world. Look at verse number 13. And there came one that had escaped. When I stop, say the next word. And told Abram the... Point number 3. The looked for brother. The last time I used you as a sermon illustration, Alec, were you a good guy or a bad guy? You want to be a good guy or a bad guy today? Stand up. So, you're Lot today, okay? You're Lot. You're not doing good. You bogged down in a slime pit. Come here. Get over there, Abe. You're Abram. I think you were Lucifer last time. Come here. You escaped. He's Lot. He's bound up. Okay, you escaped. You ready? Stay there. Show me that you're bound. Yeah, there we go. Come on, you're this. You escaped. And you're looking for people all along the way. And here's what you're saying. I'm looking for Abram the
Hebrew.
Say it louder.
I'm looking for Abram the Hebrew.
Okay, so tell him. Tell two or three who you're looking for.
I'm looking for Abram the Hebrew.
And there he is. Abram the Hebrew. Why didn't you stop at any of those spots? They can't help him. They're in the same slime pits. Only one man can help him, and it's Abram the Hebrew. Okay? Have a seat. That phrase is not found anywhere else in your Bible. Nowhere else will you find that phrase, Abram the Hebrew. Christian, why did he call him Abram the Hebrew? It was who he was. It was his faith. When your lot is at stake, are they going to look for you? Or have you burnt so many bridges with your holier-than-thou attitude, they don't want to hear anything you've got to say? Oh, Brother Raines, that sounds like the first step to compromise. When you start calling me holier-than-thou, if you holier-than-thou, your stand ain't worth a hill of beans. Who'd he want to help him? Abram the Hebrew. Because he knew the last time there was a problem, Abram the Hebrew did right. He knew the last time he needed help, Abram the Hebrew had the answer. He doesn't think Abram the Hebrew's perfect. He's seen him at his lowest point. But he knew that Abram the Hebrew knew how to repent and get right with God. Y'all with me? Who's Abram the Hebrew are you? So let's transfer it to Christianity, the Christian label in the New Testament and beyond. Jared, when somebody I know and love who's bound up in Sodom and Gomorrah needs help, I want them to say, go get Uncle Doug. He's a Christian. Go get Preacher Raines. He loves God. He never stopped telling me the truth, but I always knew he loved me. We are supposed to be somebody's Abram the Hebrew. Who is doing the searching in this passage? Obviously, it's somebody else, an unnamed person escaped, but we know that Lot was a great influence in that. And he said, if you can find my uncle Abram the Hebrew, he'll know what to do to get us out of this mess. Are you with me, church? If we get so torn out of the frame and overwhelmed with the darkness of the situation that they're in, we can still be, this is before the law was ever given. But Abram had such a walk with God that when Lot got into trouble, he said, I know who can help me. Verse 14, And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, what did I just read over very quickly? Abram heard that. You see, Brother Ains, that's just what God told Moses to write when he wrote this passage. Oh, no, that word is not there by accident. That word is there because that's telling us Abram's heart. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Number four, the love that led to a battle. Who went after who? Abram went after Lot. And there's Bible students and Bible readers in here, and we've talked early and we've talked often about the fact that the father stayed at the house, the prodigal son had to hit rock bottom and come home. There are times when that is the answer. Can I get an amen? There's other times when you need to man up and go get them.